This podcast is brought to you by Podcast Nation.
I can't believe I'm saying this. This episode is brought to you by Lola V, an award-winning hair care line by the one and only Jennifer Aniston. Why did Jennifer Aniston start a hair care company? Because she was tired of choosing between hair products that work and hair products that are actually good for us. But thanks to Lola V, we never have to choose again. No silicones, no sulfates, parabens, or gluten. And of course, it's cruelty-free and vegan. The Glossing Detangler and Perfect Conditioner are my personal favorites. Not only do they repair the look of damaged hair, but they also shield it from future harm. The first step to unlocking confidence in your dating life and your daily life is feeling confident about your hair. So unlock Jennifer Aniston approved hair at LolaV.com. And as listeners of Seeing Other People, you're getting an exclusive 15% off of your entire order when you use code Seeing Other People at checkout. That's 15% off your entire order at LolaVie.com with promo code Seeing Other People. Please note you can only use one promo code per order and discounts can't be combined. After your purchase, they will ask you where you heard about them. Please, please, please support Seeing Other People and let them know that I sent you. You guys are in for a treat because support for today's episode comes from the best of the best, Jenny Kane. And yes, there is a discount, so keep on listening. You know that feeling when you get a new sweater and it instantly becomes basically another layer of your skin? Like you wear it everywhere, for everything, all the time. Okay, well, Jenny Kane has become my literal uniform. And if you don't know Jenny Kane, I'm pretty much about to change your life because Jenny Kane's clothes did that to mine. Jenny Kane is a California brand with luxurious staples that will transform your closet. Think minimalist and effortless, but totally refined. They have the coziest cashmere sweaters and iconic accessories that will elevate your everyday basics. I don't know if I wear my cashmere fisherman hoodie or my cropped cashmere cocoon cardigan more. All I know is that I cannot live without either of them. Whether it's a cozy night in with the girls, a dinner date with Jake, or catching a flight to Florida to see my parents, these sweaters are perfect for every single occasion, and I couldn't be happier when I'm wearing them because I'm so comfy. And you guys know me, I always choose comfort over how something looks, but with Jenny Kane, I don't have to choose because I get comfort and I get style. All right, so we have the discount code coming for you. Find your new uniform at jennykane.com. Seeing Other People listeners get 15% off their first order when you use code SOP at checkout. That's 15% off your first order at jennykane.com, promo code SOP, S-O-P. Let getting dressed be one less thing to worry about.
I literally looked at him and said, I hope one day when you have a daughter, she cries over a boy that treated her half as bad as you treated me. And then I hung up the phone. 2 years later, have never spoken to him.
Hey guys, it's Alana and you're listening to Seeing Other People Unfiltered. It's Thursday, so that means real life daters are coming on to share their real, sometimes shocking, and always unfiltered experiences. Think you're alone out there? Think you're the only one whose ex hooked up with your mom or whose last date ended up being a catfish? Think again.
So I'm 28, I live in New York, and I'm here to talk about dating after your first boyfriend in your late 20s. Dated someone for 9 years, dealt with some would say narcissistic abuse and how to handle that, like dating post that kind of relationship, I guess, and finding yourself in your way when you thought that you had it all figured out.
I know I said this before we hit record, but I really just want to thank you for coming on and talking about this. I think we'll get into it, but you went through a lot, and a 9-year relationship is such a huge chunk of your life, especially when you're in your 20s. And when that ends, having to almost reinvent yourself, refigure out who you are without this person and get back out there, explore dating for the first time, that there's so much there. And I applaud you for going through that. I applaud you for being here and wanting to share your story and help anyone else who might be going through something similar. So just thank you so much for being here.
Of course. I'm so excited. And I think that it's definitely interesting when you think about how many big life events you had with this person. And I remember one of my family members literally looking and being like, she needs to get over it. It's already been 6 months. And my mom looking at that person being like, she dated this person for longer than a lot of people are married. Like, you have to understand that it's almost like a divorce. And it's so accurate. And I think so many people forget about that. And there's no perfect formula of, oh, you dated someone for 2 years, so it only takes 2 months, or you dated someone for 9 years, so it takes 9 months. And I also just want to note that whoever is going through this, one, you will get through it, even though it won't feel like you will. And don't feel as though, because my story, I dated someone for 9 years, that yours isn't as valid if you went through something similar for 1 year. Because one of my favorite sayings, and something I always think about when I talk to people about this, is you could be drowning at 5 feet or you could be drowning at 10 feet. It doesn't matter. You're still drowning. You could have dated someone for 1 year, or you could dated them for 25 years. And, you know, it still could take a toll on you.
I'm so glad you brought that up. And I think that is so true. People will always say to me, like, why does this hurt so much? We were only dating for a few months, or like, we didn't even date for a whole year, but I feel more heartbroken than the relationship I was in before that, which was like 4 years. And it's like, the time doesn't matter. Like, yes, to some extent it can, but you can still feel just as broken from a short-term relationship or even a situationship, especially when you're starting to picture your future with this person. Because not only are you mourning the relationship, but you're now also mourning this future that you were imagining and planning for and hoping for. And now you have to start from scratch and say, okay, I have to move on and move forward without this person. And all of those things that I thought were going to happen with them are actually not going to happen with them. And I have to figure it out all on my own.
Yeah. And mourning the loss of the relationship is such an accurate aspect, because it really is. Like, I thought I had my whole life planned out. I was like, oh, I know where I'm going to get married. I know I have my kids' names picked out. Like, everything in my head was planned a certain way. And then the world just came falling down. But definitely, like, when you hit rock bottom, you can only go up. So I'm very happy for that. And I'm happy for all that I've learned throughout my 2 years of being single. I definitely think I learned about myself so much. So if you want, I can kind of start from the beginning.
Yes, you took the words out of my mouth.
Okay, perfect. So I started dating this person, we'll call him Matt, when I was a senior in high school. So funny enough, Matt wanted to ask me to prom, and I was like, I don't really know. I don't really want to go with him. I'm going to ask someone else. And I asked someone else, and they were like, no, Matt really wants to ask you. You have to, like, I'm not going to take you. I was like, okay, whatever. I'll just go with this guy. Fast forward, end up starting dating him. And he was my first boyfriend, my first kiss, whole nine yards. We started dating during spring of senior year of high school. We both had picked our colleges already. So we were going our separate ways, but there was just something that felt really safe and comfortable. And we were like, okay, like this, we should just try it. So to start off, I'll be super vulnerable and hope that maybe this reaches the right younger girl. But, I remember we were dating for like 4 or 5 months. And again, this was my first boyfriend. So like my first kiss, like I knew nothing. So right before we left for school, he was like, oh, like if you really want us to stay together, the best thing to do is like for us to sleep together, because it will make, I know. And then it should have been a flaming red flag now that I look back on it.
No, but when you're 17 and you're falling in love, it's not something you usually say no to, because you're falling in love and you're 17.
Exactly. So I was like, okay, like, I guess, like, but I was like so nervous, because like, obviously I'm 17. And also like, I was raised like pretty religious. And like, my parents had always just like kind of instilled values into me. Not that like, you know, you can or can't do certain things, but it was just like, you know, value yourself. But I ended up obviously doing it, because I was like, well, I don't want Matt to like not love me when he goes to school. So, that happened. I went to my prospective school. He went to his prospective school. And then he was partying a lot. And I was like really just always worried about where he was. And I was like, okay, like maybe I should transfer. So then I started thinking about transferring. I looked at a bunch of different schools, and I ended up transferring to where Matt was. And he wanted me to, allegedly. So I get there, I'm like, okay, this is perfect. Like, this is going to be a fairy tale. We're going to go to school together. Everything's going to be amazing. I can't wait. He ends up having his own friends. And also, might I add that in high school, I didn't have a lot of friends. So when me and Matt started dating, it was just super like, oh my gosh, he's my person. He's like my best friend, my go-to, everything. It was just like very comfortable. So then when I went to college, I was like, okay, the same thing. kind of latched onto him, didn't really make my own friends. And every time I started to make girlfriends, more and more things about Matt started to come out. But of course,
oh,
like,
God.
I was just so, I think I loved Matt for the person I wanted him to be, not for the person that he actually was. And obviously hindsight's 20/20.
Do you think he was ever that person?
No, I think I wanted him to be that person, and I wanted people, like, I always see the best in people, and I want them to like love me the way that I love them, because I have so much love to give. But yeah, no, he was definitely never that person. So I remember sophomore year, I'm out with two girls that I just became friends with. So I was like, oh my God, this is so fun. I'm going out with girls. Like, I'm actually like, I have girlfriends. Then they like met Matt, and they were like, wait, he looks so familiar. And I was like, oh, like, I don't know. Like, we've been dating for like whatever, like, who knows? They end up figuring out that he had like hooked up and made out with a girl that they lived with freshman year. And I asked Matt about it, and he just blatantly lied to my face. And then I was laying in bed, and he was sleeping because he was so drunk. And I looked at his phone, which like I never did. I never like looked through his text messages or anything, but I looked through his phone, and I see the girl's name in his contacts. And I was like, oh, so you don't know who it is, but somehow she's in your contacts. So whole big debacle. He ends up telling me that he, like, you know, he was so blacked out. It was freshman year. Like, I shouldn't, like, worry about that. And I'm like, okay, like, this is the first time. Like, he says he loves me. Like, everything will be fine. Again, a flaming red flag I should have listened to. But I really just, like, you know, thought he was different.
You wanted it to work.
Yeah, exactly. So sophomore year goes well. We're hanging out. We're like in love. Everything's perfect. I kind of like take a step back from those girls, because I'm like, okay, like maybe they just wanted to hurt me. Like, now I'm toxic in my own
blame head. It all. Of course. We're so quick. It's so funny how we do this. And I feel like every girl is guilty of this. We're like, we blame it on the other girls and not the guy, because we want it to work so badly that we'll put up with anything from him. But the second like a girl isn't cheering us on, it's bye.
You guys know that I struggle with confidence. I'm always my biggest critic, and when I notice something about myself that I don't like, I can't stop fixating on it. I'm working on all of this, but it can be hard. A year ago, I noticed that my hair was thinning, and I was finding more and more strands of hair on the floor every time I would walk around my apartment. When I would look down in the shower, I would freak out at what I saw in the drain. That's when I opened up to my best friend, who happens to be a doctor, and she said two things that changed my life. The first was that she knows so many women our age going through the same thing. The second is that she told me to try Nutrafol. And so I did. Nutrafol is the number one dermatologist recommended hair growth supplement, with over 1 million people seeing thicker, stronger, faster growing hair with less shedding. A year later and a month before my wedding, and I cannot believe the number of people who have been complimenting how long, strong, and healthy my hair looks. I never imagined that this would happen. And naturally, as a result, my confidence has transformed. I'm no longer self-conscious when it comes to my hair. And honestly, that is a huge, huge, huge personal win for me. And you guys know I'm hilariously bad at sticking with habits and taking something every day or doing something every day. But with Nutrafol, building a hair growth routine is simple. You purchase online with no prescription required. Free shipping and automated deliveries ensure that you'll never miss a day. You'll see results in 3 to 6 months. And trust me, it is worth the wait. You can start so easily by taking their hair wellness quiz on Nutrafol.com for a personalized hair health plan based on your specific root causes. Take the first step to visibly thicker, healthier hair. For a limited time, Nutrafol is offering the Seeing Other People family $10 off your first month subscription and free shipping when you go to Nutrafol.com and enter the promo code Seeing Other People. Find out why over 4,500 healthcare professionals and hairstylists recommend Nutrafol for healthier hair. Nutrafol.com, spelled Nutrafol.com, promo code Seeing Other People. That's Nutrafol.com, promo code Seeing Other People. Shout out to Claritin for supporting this episode and providing us with samples. When I first started Seeing Other People, some of my closest friends and family could not believe it. Not because they didn't think I was capable of being a podcast host, but because I usually can't get through a sentence without sniffling. And during allergy season, forget about it. My seasonal allergies are debilitating, and my sinus congestion and pressure has always left me feeling so sick. But luckily, for those of us who live with the symptoms of allergies, we can live Claritin clear with Claritin D. Designed for for serious allergy sufferers, Claritin D has two powerful ingredients in just one pill that relieve your allergy symptoms and decongest your nose so you can breathe better. This double action combination of prescription strength allergy medicine and the best decongestant available relieves sneezing, a runny nose, itchy and watery eyes, an itchy nose and throat, and sinus congestion and pressure with ease. Claritin D has truly transformed my life. Not only can I breathe better and sleep better since taking Claritin D, but I also can get through the day so much smoother. I used to have to cancel plans because of how bad my allergies were. I'd go through a tissue box a week, sometimes more, and my eyes were always watery. But Claritin D's fast symptom relief starts working on allergies with nasal congestion in as little as 30 minutes, and it tackles nasal congestion caused by allergies or a cold, and also relieves sinus congestion and pressure due to allergies. It's truly the greatest thing I've ever come across, and I am so grateful that I found it and started using it. Are you ready to live life as if you don't have allergies? It's time to live Claritin Clear. Fast and powerful relief is just a quick trip away. Find Claritin D at the pharmacy counter. Ask for Claritin D at your local pharmacy counter. You don't even need a prescription. Go to Claritin.com right now so you can live Claritin Clear. Use as directed.
Literally could, and it's just like so crazy. And I definitely regret losing a lot of friends over him. But again, it all led me to where I am today. So I just have to like take it for what it is. Sophomore to junior year. So sophomore year finishes. We're fine. We're in a good place. Sophomore to junior year, my grandpa, who I was so close with, is like passing away. He has cancer at this time. I'm overseeing him like every single week when I'm not working in the summer. So he ends up passing away at the end of August. A week later, my dad loses his job, and my mom is a stay-at-home mom. So like, I'm like, oh my gosh, what's going on? Like my whole world's falling apart. I get to college the first week. So where I went to school, you go to school the first week to like party before like school even starts. So I get there the first night I'm there. I'm like, okay, I'm so overwhelmed. I just need to stay in. Like, I just want to cry, whatever. I'm staying in. I get a text message at like 2:30 in the morning, and it's Matt's making out with someone. I'm like, what the fuck?
No.
So
you're in your mind, you're like, I'm already at rock bottom. It can't get worse. And then yeah, the floor drops.
Literally, I was like, oh my gosh. I call my mom hysterically crying. My mom's like, okay, like I totally know that you're, you know, going through a ton of things right now. And she's like, I think that you should just approach Matt about it. And if you think you can handle breaking up, then you should break up. But if you don't know if you can handle it, then don't. Like, she was like, I just don't think you should like rock your world right now. Matt, again, blatantly lies to me, to my face, telling me he doesn't know like that this happened. And I'm like, I have a picture of you. And, but again, I'm like, another red flag.
You're right. Maybe there's, you have a doppelganger walking around.
And like, this girl is actually so nice. And like, I actually stay in touch with her, and like, she didn't know about me. So like, I can never blame her. She just got engaged. I messaged her. I was so happy for her, but whatever. So me and Matt end up staying together a little bit longer. Now this next one is when, I really should have kind of like got it together. But again, I was like, you know, rock bottom, whatever. So then Matt goes away for spring break on a mission trip because he does something in medicine and wants to go into that. So he goes away and he meets a girl in my sorority on his trip. So I went to a mid-sized school. So the sorority is probably all in all, like all pledge classes, 300 people. So like everyone kind of knew someone, and this girl was in my pledge class. So this girl literally convinces Matt that we shouldn't be together and that they're meant to be together. So he breaks up with me while he's away. And then I wait for him to come home from the trip because we're driving back to school together. So I pick him up from the airport. I drive him back to school. We talk the whole time. He's like, I love you. I just need time. And like, I just want some time to like hang out with my friends and be single. And I was like, okay, like, I guess that's fine. Like, but like, he's like, but like, don't think this is over. It's not over. It's just like, I want to like have fun with my friends. I'm like, okay, like you have a week and a half. Like, I'm not doing this for long. He one night he gets really drunk. He's texting me and I'm like answering whatever. And the next morning I go over his apartment and I'm like, Matt, I love you. I brought you a bagel. I brought you a Gatorade. I know you're hungover. Like, I really want to be with you. The girl in my sorority is hiding in his bedroom.
Stop.
I know. Oh, and the fact that I dealt with this for 9 years, I feel like I probably sound like the dumb, like, pick me girl, but like, I just hope that.
I mean, the way I'm listening to this, it's like, I wish I could go back and like shake younger you. And I'm sure that's how you feel too. But I also feel like there's not a single thing you've said here that has been like, oh my God, how could she like let that slide? Because I saw all these things happen. I did so many of these things. And I imagine that a lot of people listening like see a bit of their younger self or their current self in everything you went through too, because these things unfortunately happen a lot and are unfortunately so relatable. So like, I'm not like, this isn't embarrassing at all. This isn't like, how could you like let these things go on? It's like, we want to see the best in people and we want things to work out. And like, we accept way less than we deserve so often.
No, absolutely. And like, that was definitely like one of the lowest points where I was just like, but I have to say, like, one of the things that when I do look back, I want to shake myself so bad, but I also look back and I'm like, wow, I'm so proud of you, because I handled everything with such grace. Like, I found them in his room, whatever. And so all my friends are like, what'd you do? Did you fight her? And I was like, no, I literally looked at them and said, hope you guys are happy. And I went back to my apartment. And
wow.
I don't know how I did it. I suffer from like anxiety and depression, and I was like not on medicine at that time. And I was just like, I think I was numb. And I think that that's sometimes why I also feel so bad for my younger self. Cause I'm like, oh my God, the poor girl, she didn't even know. Like, she couldn't even feel anything. She was just so numb. And I remember also at one point looking at Matt at that time, cause he had then come back after and been like, I want to be with you, blah, blah, blah. But in between this, between him coming back and me finding the girl, I remember calling him one night and again, super vulnerable and like, you know, whatever. I remember looking at him being like, Matt, I literally am like so depressed. I don't want to be here anymore. Like, I want to take my own life. Like, I can't do this anymore. I can't do this. And him being looking at me saying, you'll get over it. Or you'll be fine. Get over it. It's not that big of a deal. I'm going out. It's St. Patrick's Day. And he went out with the girl that night. And I didn't have a friend group or a support system. So it was like, okay, I guess I'll just sit here by myself. And I just like literally sat there by myself and cried all night long and like didn't know what to do. I called my parents. And thank God I have like the most amazing family. And my brother and my dad came the next day. And like slept on my floor in college because they were like, you should never get treated like this. Whatever though, continued on with Matt. Somehow got back together. Things were great again, quote unquote, great. So then we graduate college. Still dating.
I almost like want to stop you and be like, well, like, how did you get back together after that? But also like,
I don't think, no. I mean, that's such a fair question. I think how we got back together after that was like, I think this is something that I've learned post Matt is like, I didn't think I was like worthy of like the love that I gave. And I think it's also so confusing so many times because my parents have been married for 35 years. They're madly in love. I have an older and like I have two brothers and both of them are madly in love and married and treat their wives like gold. And so people are like, well, it's not like you come from like a broken home or like it's not like you didn't see like a perfect example of love. And I'm like, yeah, I think it's like sometimes it's so much bigger than that. And it's so much more about your own self.
Yeah, it's internal.
Yeah. And I think also people forget that like when you get bullied when you're younger or like if you get bullied by girls, like that takes such a toll on you that like I feel like kind of affects you big when dating, even if you have like a stable family and like relationships. It's like I was bullied so poorly or so bad in high school. And I think I just was like well, if Matt leaves me, then that means that everyone will leave me. And like all of my, like, I'm not worthy of having friends, or I'm not worthy of being loved, even though my parents love me, but they have to. So I think that that's something that people forget about also. Like, there's so many other relationships that change your perspective on dating and like how you deserve to be treated.
Yeah, 100%. I couldn't agree more. Okay, so.
Me and Matt are post-grad now. Matt's in graduate school. I'm like, oh my gosh, he finally has it together. Things are great. Like, this is it. We're getting married. Whole nine yards. We date for like all 4 years of graduate school. His like graduate program ends. I surprise him with all of his best friends and all of their girlfriends. I'm like, oh my gosh, everything's perfect. Like, this is exactly what I dreamed about. We didn't have any like major bumps in the road in those 4 years. We were living in different cities, but we were long distance. I kind of started to find my own footing. Don't know how I trusted him, like looking back at it now. I'm like, how did I get through that?
You took the words. I was about to say, like, how did you go from like this college period where you knew that he made out with other girls and who knows what else, and to then like being in this now new 4 year span of like it being good and you feeling safe and secure with him?
Raise your hand if you have dating anxiety. All right. I know that everyone has their hands up, and I get it. I had debilitating anxiety when I was single. And even when I first started dating Jake, I kept waiting for the other shoe to drop. And I know that is not a good way to feel, and that is not a fun way to date. And I get it. It can be hard to find an anxiety relief tactic that works for you. That's why I'm so excited to introduce you to a new one that has helped me dramatically with my wedding and work stress and anxiety over the last few months. And trust me, there's been a lot of it. Sunset Lake CBD is an amazing company that not only has helped me feel so much better, but they also have a really cool history and mission. Sunset Lake CBD is a majority employee-owned hemp farm located right outside of Burlington, Vermont. As farmers, they believe in providing only top-shelf CBD and hemp products at fair prices. So they cut out the middlemen and they ship their CBD straight from their farm to your door, which means that their CBD is affordable and trusted, because CBD and anxiety relief can help everyone, and they want it to be accessible to anyone. Trust me when I say that when I'm stressed or anxious, my sleep is the first thing to go. But despite everything I have going on right now, I've been taking a sleep gummy before bed, and my sleep scores on my Oura Ring have been through the roof. Plus, I'm finding myself relaxing more at night and being able to turn off my work brain and my anxiety with the help of their CBD gummy bears and reishi infused chews. Whether you want to sleep better, relax better, focus better, recover better, or anything in between, Sunset Lake CBD has something for everyone. So check them out today at sunsetlakecbd.com and use code SOP for 20% off your order. That's code SOP for 20% off. Farmer owned, Vermont grown, Sunset Lake CBD. Brave the uncomfortable. Those are the words engraved on my bracelet that have gotten me through some of the most anxiety-inducing moments over the last few years. And that's why I could not be more excited to encourage you all to get a Presently bracelet of your own with a phrase that resonates with you. Presently is a line of mindfulness bracelets engraved with words inspired by cognitive behavioral therapy. The brand was started by two sisters, Lindsay and Emily, who have obsessive compulsive disorder, aka OCD, and anxiety. They realized that when stuck in an anxiety spiral, it's hard to put into practice the tools that they learned in therapy sessions. They looked and looked for bracelets that could serve as reminders to interrupt that spiral, but they couldn't find anything besides the cheesy good vibes only and no bad days types of messaging. They started Presently to bring more authenticity to self-help anxiety management. And as someone who has had a Presently bracelet for 3 years, I mean it when I say it really makes a difference. So whether you need encouragement to make it onto that date that you've been anxious about, a calming mantra to get you through a big day at work, or simply a reminder that you're not alone, Presently has your back. Their bracelets are so beautiful and elevated, and they also make amazing gifts. And I know, because I have gifted a few over the years, and my friends were so excited to get one and have worn them ever since. There are 6 phrases to choose from. And if you're indecisive, there's a quiz that you can take to help you choose the perfect reminder for your anxiety. Plus, 5% of each bracelet is donated to your choice of 4 mental health nonprofits. I wholeheartedly love and support Presently, and I know that your Presently bracelet will bring you as much comfort as mine has brought me. So head to presentlybracelets.com. That's PRESENTLY bracelets.com for 10% off your order using code SEEINGOTHERPEOPLE. Do you feel like you're at a crossroads in your love life? Maybe you're in the thick of modern dating, or you're wondering if the person you're with is your person. Whatever your situation, I have the perfect podcast for you. It's called Dateable, your insider's look into modern dating, hosted by Julie Krafcik and Yue Xu. They talk about it all, from why you're choosing the wrong partner and how to stop, to how to actually go from matching on the app to getting on a date, to securing your anxious attachment, and everything in between. Julie and Yue have been on Seeing Other People, and I've been a guest on their podcast too, so if you're looking for a great starting point, check out my episode of Dateable, season 15, episode 10, Is It Chemistry or Anxiety? Guys, this podcast is incredibly relatable, insightful, and oftentimes hilarious. Wherever you start, Dateable will help you feel inspired to date differently and create a love life that works for you. You can subscribe and listen to episodes on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you listen to podcasts every Wednesday and Sunday. So check out Dateable and thank me later.
I think something that helped me was post-grad, I felt like I had my own life almost. So I think in college, I followed him to college, and like college, everything feels like the end of the world. Cause like, if you're not in the right social circle, or you're not in the right like clubs or sororities, or you just feel like everything's falling apart. But one thing I've always been good at is like working and being like smart and like a nerd, honestly. And so I thrived in the work environment because I was like, oh, I finally feel accomplished. So I think I finally had something going for me. Which it didn't make me trust him, but it didn't make me, it made me realize that like I would be okay if things didn't work out, which I think I needed something where I felt like I was accomplishing things on my own in order to do that.
It also probably helps you like hyper-focus less on what he's doing and who he's with and where he is at all times of the day.
Yes, completely. So I surprised Matt. We have this graduation party for him. It's great. Everyone's so happy. We go away. We are like for a vacation. Everything's great. And then we start to figure out and decide if we're going to move in together. And I was like, you know what? I want one more year in New York City. Like, I just feel like I need that extra year. Because of COVID, and like, I just like, I don't know, I wanted my own life for one more. And I was like, I have the rest of my life to live with you. So we go, he still lives in his prospective city. I'm still living in New York. And then, Thanksgiving comes around and he's supposed to, come home for Thanksgiving. Now, mind you, we're from the same hometown. Both cities that we live in are drivable. So he should very easily be able to come home for Thanksgiving. His parents tell my parents that he was never planning on coming home. He's telling me that he's coming home. Then he ends up going out the night before, drinking heavily, and then decides not to come home. And was like, if you were a good girlfriend, you would come to my city and like spend Thanksgiving with me so I wouldn't have to spend it alone. And I, at this point, like, kind of have, like, found – yeah, I know. Well, it gets even better.
Oh, God.
By this point, I kind of, like, have found my own footing. I, like, feel more established in my career. I finally started to make my own girlfriends. Like, I was so excited about that. And I was like, you know what? No, like, I'm not going. I want to be with my, like, my family. So I was like, no, like, you can come here. So I, like, am on, an anxious spiral at this point. And I'm like, you know what, like, I'm not going to see you, but like, we could talk later. My parents were like furious that he didn't come home. They were like, this is not a relationship anymore. And my mom pulls me aside the day after Thanksgiving and goes, I just want to let you know that, me and Matt's dad had talked. So, Matt's dad and my dad had a conversation, and Matt's dad looked at my dad and said, I just want to let you know, I don't think my son treats your daughter right. And she doesn't deserve that.
Wow.
And my mom was like, right? And my dad was like, well, I know Matt's really busy with school and like he has a lot going on. And his dad was like, no, that's not an acceptable excuse. She doesn't deserve to be treated like that.
And I wonder what he was like, was he saying any of this to his son? Like, I wish I knew.
I know. Oh my God. To this day, I have so many questions. So I said to Matt, I called him and I was like, we need to take a break. I was like, I can't do this anymore. Like, you don't make any effort with me. Like, I'm exhausted. I just want you to love me. And like, I don't know what else to do. And he literally says, okay. And we hang up and we don't speak for like 3 weeks. He's like texting me here and there and telling me that, like, you know, I'm still the one, but like, we're not really talking. Now, mind you, I knew Matt since I was 12. So since I was 12, I had talked to him every single day till when I was like 26. So I'm like, oh my God, 3 weeks feels like an eternity. He comes home for the holidays for Christmas time and we meet up and he's like crying and he's like, I love you so much. Like, I know you're the one. I've just never been single before. And he's like, I'm trying to figure out post-grad and like graduate school and all these kinds of things. And like, I just really need some time. And I was like, okay. I was like, so is there anyone else in the picture? And I was like, I just need to know. Looks me dead in the eyes, tells me no. I'm like, okay, fine. January comes around. We talk here and there. I reach out again and I'm like, hey, like, Matt, like, I love you more than anything in this world. Like, I'll move to your city. Like, I'll break my lease. I'll find a new job. I just want to be with you. He's like, I love you so much. You're my person. And like, I know you're the one, but I don't want, like, I need time. I'm like, okay, I'll give you one more month. So March rolls around. I FaceTime Matt and I was like, I can't do this anymore. We need to talk. And Matt is like, we're FaceTiming and he's looking in the corner of his eye. And I'm like, oh my God, what the heck is going on?
Oh my God.
And
oh my God,
he, oh my God. Yeah. So also I'm home. My parents are away and it's just my younger brother and future sister-in-law at home. So I'm upstairs in my childhood bathroom and, I'm FaceTiming him and he was like, so I actually found someone else. And I was like, what are you talking about? And he's like, I'm dating someone. And I was like, wait, you told me there was no one else. And he was like, I love you. You're my best friend. I still want to be friends with you, but like, I really like her and I want to be with her. And I was like, I mean this when I say this, never speak to me again in your life. And then this is the only jaded thing I've ever said to him. I literally looked at him and said, I hope one day when you have a daughter, she cries over a boy that treated her half as bad as you treated me. And then I hung up the phone and I, 2 years later, have never spoken to him.
Good for you.
Yeah.
I wish I could high five you right now.
No, I mean, it's so wild to think about all of it. And it was so stressful and debilitating and I never thought I would get over it. And then I looked at my parents like a couple weeks later and I was like, you know, as long as Matt doesn't like get engaged before I get a boyfriend, like, I don't really care. Like, whatever. Funny enough, my parents found out that Matt was getting engaged, came to my apartment, sat me down and were like, we want to let you know he's getting engaged in a couple of weeks. It's going to be their 2-year anniversary, which was while we were still dating. And they were like, he's obviously like, we hate him. We like, we have no words to even put out in the universe about how we feel, but they were like, we would never want you to find out over social media. So it was, again, like a debilitating experience because I don't have a boyfriend. So I'm like, wait, what's wrong with me? Like, how does Matt not only find a girlfriend, start dating someone, gets engaged, and like, I've done what in the past 2 years?
Well, also, hold on. We can't just slide past the fact that the 2-year anniversary
for them
was 2 years from when you guys were still in a relationship.
Yeah. So funny enough, I'll add food for thought to that. Because there always is with Matt. So on Thanksgiving, when he didn't come home, he went out to dinner with a couple people that he worked with. And when I was FaceTiming him, I said, did you go out to dinner with this girl? And he was like, yeah, that's who I was at dinner with on Thanksgiving. And I was like, wait, you literally didn't come home to see me or your family.
And called you a bad girlfriend.
Right? And he was out to dinner with her.
That's horrible. That is so horrible.
Yeah, no, I mean, it's like one of those things where you're like, why would I even want this person back? Like looking at all the things that he did to me. But like, then I'm also like, I just like loved so much who I thought he was going to be. And like, I, you know, I had my whole life planned out. I thought I was going to go back to grad school, but then I didn't go back to grad school because I was like, well, like I most likely will be a stay-at-home mom because that's what Matt wants. And now I'm like 28, single, like living life. And I'm like, wow, really should have went back to grad school.
I want to hear about your healing process because I imagine that you were both like suffering and also kind of mourning the relationship while you were in it at various points. So like what happened for you once you hung up that FaceTime and you guys didn't speak again? Like what were the following months like for you in terms of processing and really going through the breakup and moving forward?
So I think it was such a interesting healing process. And I think it's so interesting to hear like how different people heal. And there totally is no one size fits all by any means. So I think part of it was I started to mourn the loss earlier than it even happened, just because I was like, I looked at my parents a couple months after and I said, you know, I always thought I was going to marry Matt, but I just always figured that he was going to cheat on me and it was going to be like, he was going to have infidelity. But as long as it wasn't in my house with my children, that's all I cared about. And so part of me had like a sense of relief because I was like, now I don't have to worry about that. Like I had this vision in my head always that I was going to walk in the house and like he was going to be in bed with another girl and like my two children were going to be there. God willing, I have two children, but like one day. But like that was always a thought process.
And that's like heartbreaking that that's something while you were dating this person who you loved, like that was your fear.
Yeah. So I think some of my like healing was literally relief. And I think that's something people don't talk about either. Like the relief that like they don't, like Matt doesn't have control over my emotions anymore. Like I'm the only one that has control over them. And I lived in like fight or flight mode all the time. I was waiting every weekend. Like, am I going to get a text message that like he's hooking up with someone? Am I going to get, you know, I remember going back to the gynecologist and then being like, oh, like you have a boyfriend. You don't need to like, you know, get an STD check. And I would literally be like, no, I want to get one anyway. Because I was like, this is how I'm going to find out that he's cheating on me, that like, this is what's going to happen. And like, so I think that part of the healing process was like very different. You know, I just didn't live in fight or flight anymore. I was like, wow, this is what it's like to like be relaxed. Like, this is what normal people exist. Feel like. Yeah. Literally. Oh my God. And then also like, obviously a ton of crying, a ton of like, you know, what's wrong with me? Why does he have a girlfriend? A ton of like, what does she have that I don't? Oddly enough, I started working with a life coach who I like love and have like the like most utmost respect for. That definitely like changed a lot of things for me. I feel like I just learned a ton about myself. I also really leaned into like friends. I never relied on anyone and never really relied on friends. But then I just started saying like, okay, like worst case scenario, they leave me, like Matt left me and I'm fine. So I started doing that. I also started really learning more about myself and like things that were, I guess, almost like non-negotiables for me. And it's funny now because I look at the list of things that are like super important to me and Matt doesn't have any of those. And I learned that from my life coach. And I was like, I was willing to sacrifice all of these things that like I want in my like to instill in my life and like to instill in my children. And like, I was just like, okay, whatever, I'll just be fine because, you know, I have Matt who's contributing nothing. But so I think that was a big thing. Also, one of my other big things was not always listening to your friends. In the sense of like how you're supposed to heal. You know, everyone thinks that they have the playbook. Like, oh, like if you wake up at 5 a.m. and you meditate and then you write a list of all the guys that you, like all the things that you love about a guy, or there's like, you know, the friend that's like, you need to just like go be like young and 28 in the city and do whatever you want. And, you know, there's everyone has their own formula. And I think one thing that I've learned throughout the healing process is like my formula is like my is mine. And like my journey is mine. And like, I don't need to listen to anyone else on like how to live my life or what to do when you break up or how to date or any of these kinds of things. It really just needs to be what I think it should be.
I could not agree with that more. I think that's one of the biggest things that we can learn and that we do learn in our 20s is we have to do what works for us and what works for your best friend, as much as their guidance might be the most genuine thing in the entire world and that they do truly want to support you and help you, it might not be right for you. And so you have to really listen to your gut and trust that you know what's right. And if you try something and it doesn't work, like you don't have to keep trying that thing. Like try something else, figure out what does work for you.
No, absolutely. And I think another thing that my life coach had said to me was like, write down like a list of things that like you really want to do. And like, it could be like go to the Hamptons. It could be go to a college football game or go back to your alma mater. And she was like, you need to start doing those things because like one day you're going to be married or you're going to be engaged and like, you're going to have a baby and you're going to have to ask your partner like, hey, like, do you mind if I leave for the weekend? She's like, you can leave for the weekend. And like, I think people forget about being single and like being happy with it and like enjoying all these kinds of things that you might not have when you find your person. And like, you know, there's pros and cons to when you do find your person. And, but like embrace your singlehood as much as you possibly can, because you're never going to get this time back.
Absolutely. Do you feel like you've been doing an okay job at that?
Yes. Like oddly enough. Yes. And like, there's days where I'm like, oh my gosh, I'm like, I can't believe that like I let Matt go, and I still send my mom songs all the time. And I'm like, oh my gosh, like imagine I would have just moved and imagine I would have just like went and lived with him as opposed to, you know, not, and everything would be so much easier. And like, I wouldn't be single and I wouldn't be going on like dates that are like maybe not the best or whatever. And I just have to remind myself that like, you know, my future daughter doesn't deserve that as a father figure. And I don't deserve that either. But I don't know. I think I'm definitely doing so well, but it's day by day. I think a part of me will always love him. And like a part of me will always be like, I wish that he was the person that I wanted him to be, but, he just like can't be, unfortunately.
Yeah, he can't be. He isn't. He wasn't.
And yeah, all of the things.
Yeah, all of the above. What has dating been like since you were in your mid-20s when you started dating for the first time and at this point had only ever like kissed one person?
It was the craziest thing and like so scary. Like I feel like people don't talk about that aspect. Like I literally thought to myself, like, do I remember how to kiss somebody? Like, am I a good kisser? Like, am I a bad kisser? How will I know? Like, you know, you think about everything. Also, like, how do you have a conversation with someone that you don't really know? I knew Matt since he was 12. So like, how does that work? When do you bring up that you were dating someone for so long? I actually have found it to be really fun. I feel like I've met so many people. Another thing my life coach had taught me was like, after a date, write down like all the things that you enjoyed about the date. And I had started doing that and I was like, wow, I'm meeting so many amazing people. So I definitely think that it's been an experience. Living my truth again, like, is another interesting experience, especially in like a New York City dating culture where like, you know, people are at your fingertips at all times. Yeah, I feel like it's definitely been an experience. I think that's how I'd probably label it. One of the things that I actually listened on your podcast the other day when you had someone on, and one of the things that they said was like about not playing the games or like not knowing the games. And I think that's something that I actually don't understand the games. I'm like, oh, I like you. I'm just going to tell you I like you. Or, oh, I had a nice time. Or so many of my friends are like, well, did he text you first? Did he make a plan? And I'm like, no, but like he wants to go out, so why don't I just go? Some guy that I'm supposed to go out with tonight actually texted me and said, how mad would you be if there were TVs on during our date and it's like our first date? Because he's like, because it's the NCAA March Madness. And I was like, I would ask when our wedding is. And because I love college basketball and like I'm going to a college basketball game this weekend. And I feel as though like so many of my friends would have been like, you can't go out with him. Like he's going to have the TV on. And I'm like, hell yeah. We like agree on something. Like we're going to watch the games together. And like, it was like a fun, flirty way.
Awesome.
Yeah. To like start talking. And so I think that part's been really interesting too. Like I don't know the games. I don't know how to play them. I don't want to play them. I'm not even at that amusement park.
But you know what? That's your advantage. Like that's what's going to make you have a much better experience dating. You're going to be able to have more fun with it. You're going to be able to be more relaxed because you're not giving into all the stupid shit that people feel like they have to do in order to win somebody over. And you're not going to try and win somebody over. You're just going to date until you meet somebody that you connect with and you want to keep getting to know. That's the way you're approaching it versus everyone else who has fallen for this, like, I don't even know how, it's so frustrating. It's so frustrating.
Oh yeah. I mean, I definitely envy the people that started dating like pre-COVID. I always hear people say like, oh, Hinge used to be so good. And I'm like, okay, like I wasn't here for that, but it's not that bad. Like, it's really what you make it. And I also think there's so many things that I always try to remind myself and people that might not have had a boyfriend or that are newer to dating or that are dating for the wrong reasons. I always think like I would have swiped past Matt on a dating app, but I loved his personality. Besides like him being like a bad person, but like the other thing
being a cheater and liar and all the other things,
but like people, you know, are always like, well, he's not the hottest one, or like his Hinge prompt said X, Y, and Z, and I'm like, who cares? Like, why do you care? Just like
get to know the person.
Yeah.
Totally.
So that's been a nice experience for me with dating, for to say the least.
Have you gotten to the point with anyone where you've opened up about your relationship with Matt?
Not fully. I have not, like I've talked about it, briefly, but I try not to. One of the big things that I feel as though I worked on, with my life coach and like throughout the past 2 years is I can't bring that like trauma essentially to someone else. It's not fair for me to be like, oh, well, like, what are you doing tonight? Or like, who are you with? Or like, who's this girl? Or any of those, like, they didn't do anything to me yet. So like, it's not fair for me to say that. And I think a lot of people, if you do the work on yourself and you're like happy with who you are, it's definitely going to be a part of you. And it's going to be a part of your like, you know, future relationships, but it doesn't have to be the whole thing.
It doesn't have to define you. It shouldn't. There's so much more to you than what happened to you that was based on someone else's actions.
Exactly. So I feel like one day, obviously, I will talk about it all with someone, but I just never want someone to think that that's going to affect our relationship. So I'm like, I'm not going to bring it up until like it's right and like we feel stable and good to, I don't know, trauma dump on someone else.
Yeah, no, I love that. And I'm really impressed that you got to the point where that's your mindset and your approach to it. I think that's really powerful. And I think that just shows your strength that you're able to separate what he did to you versus who somebody else is and to give somebody a clean slate that they deserve. I think that's one of the hardest parts about dating is not bringing our past into our present. And so the fact that you were able to work through what happened to you in a way where you're able to go out and you're able to date and you're able to not have it impact every aspect of your dating life. Like that's absolutely the goal. And it's something that so many people struggle with. So I hope you know how big that is. And I hope you're proud of yourself for that because you really should be.
Thank you. Thank you. Yeah, no, it's definitely, it's been a ride. It's been a wild ride.
Yeah. What do you think is like the biggest lesson that you learned from everything that you went through?
That's such a good question. Yeah, for real. I feel like I don't know if there's like one thing that I learned. I think I really learned about what I do want in someone and how important those things are. And it's not like, oh, I need the hottest guy or I need, you know, the person that's going to make six figures. But it's more of like, I want someone that's like grounded in religion or grounded in like ambition and things of that nature that will, those things are so much more important than I had ever thought they were. Just, I learned so much that I couldn't just put it into one thing besides the fact that like, I know what I want now and I don't want to settle until I can get that. Yeah, I think that that's probably the biggest thing, which isn't the most riveting answer, but.
No, but I think everything you said is perfect. Like, it's, you know who you are, you know what's important to you, and to be able to come out of something so traumatic and take that away is it like, in a way, it almost makes it worth it.
Yeah, exactly. I always say, like, literally thank God that this happened to me because I wouldn't be who I am today. I wouldn't be where I am today. All the, you know, things that have happened, like, obviously were traumatizing, but it makes me who I am. And I feel like it's a special experience that I wish no one goes through, but, you learn a lot about yourself along the way.
100%. Is there anything that I didn't ask you about that you were hoping to share?
You are absolutely not alone. And also you're not stupid. You're not crazy. You're not any of those things, which I had been called so many times. You are allowed to love someone, even if they're not showing you the love back. You might not deserve it, but you're allowed to feel those feelings.
Okay, then there's one thing left to do here. The best way to close out every episode, maybe not the best way, but my favorite way. What is the best piece of dating or relationship advice you've ever received?
Oh, the best piece of, well, I feel like this probably isn't advice that I got, but this is advice that I would want to give.
Beautiful.
Oh, yeah. Don't envy someone's life that you wouldn't want. You know, you see so many people engaged, married, having a baby, doing all these things. Unless you can look at them and say, like, that's exactly the life I want. And like, I would want to date that person and all these things. Like, you can't envy it. And your time will come and it'll be even more special than you can ever imagine.
I am so glad you said that. I just had a whole conversation this morning with a therapist on an episode. And I don't know which episode's going to come out first, but literally about this, where it's so easy to look at somebody else on social media or look at a friend and compare where you're at to where they're at and be like, oh, like I wish I had their life, or I wish I was in their position. I wish we could switch places. And it's like, well, would you actually want to have all of the things that they have and go through all the things that they've been through and take on all of their anxieties and mental health struggles and physical health issues and family things and everything else? Like, you have to not just look at the highlight, but look at the whole picture. And I guarantee 99% of the time, the answer is no. And you'd rather be who you are and where you're at.
No, exactly. I could not agree more at all with any of that.
I love it. Well, thank you so, so much for being here. This has seriously been so amazing. And again, like, I can't express how much I appreciate you coming on. And I really do like mean it when I say, I hope you're so proud of yourself, because I would not be where you are if what happened to you happened to me. I know that for a fact. So you really are so strong and incredible. And I'm really excited to see where the rest of your journey takes you.
Thanks for listening, daters. I hope today's episode made you feel just a little bit less alone out there, no matter what your status might be. Give your finger a break from swiping and hit that follow and review button instead. And if you have any burning questions or want to share your own unfiltered dating stories, reach out to seeingotherpeoplepodcast@gmail.com. And in the meantime, keep on seeing other people.